God, we ask that you bless them, that you would speak to them this week, that you would encourage them in the word. We just thank you and give you great thanks. In Jesus' name, amen. Are you ready for the word? Are you so excited? Get more excited. This is going to be good. Pastor Mike and Pastor Ruth are both sharing the word this morning. And so I'm going to ask that you would stretch your hands towards them and pray for them as they give the word. Just so you can lift up your voice towards them. Thank you, God, for what you're going to do in our lives today, that we will never be the same. We give you great space this morning in our thoughts and in our heart and in our attitudes and in our dreams and in our imagination, God, that you would come and move in it and have your way, that your spirit would move inside of us in such a way that would just bring fruit out of your word. We thank you for the anointing on Pastor Mike and Ruth as they bring the word this morning. Speak to them and through them and bless them in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. It's going to be a good time together in the word. Thankfulness is the lens through which we witness the profound wonder of God's goodness. Amen. Thankfulness is the lens through which we witness the profound wonder of God's goodness. You know, there's a verse I found in Psalm 69:30, and I put it on three different, the one phrase on three different translations. It says in the New King James, "And I will magnify him with thanksgiving." It says in the Christian Standard Bible, "And I will exalt him with thanksgiving." In the New Living Translation, I like this, is "I will honor him with thanksgiving." I will honor him with thanksgiving. That's what we want to do today. We want to honor God with our thanksgiving. So we're going to talk about that a little bit, about the power of thanksgiving in your life, about how we can live or find out what the outcome is of living a life of thanksgiving. How do you develop a habit of thanksgiving? There's ways we can do that. And we want to talk about the full circle of thanksgiving this morning and how we can develop a habit of thanksgiving. So we're going to explore all of these. There's three areas we're going to explore. And Ruth is going to do the first one.
Number one, we want to be thankful for what God has done. And Philippians 4, 6 says this, "Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for what he has done." And so it's just amazing what happens in our lives when we intentionally remember all the things that God has done. There's something that happens when you think about it, when you actually consider and you go through it all. And I think I'm going to put this down, just use this because it's ringing up here. Anyway, okay, are we good? Okay. So remembering the things God has done actually does something. It activates your faith for the now. It actually invites God to do it again in your life. When you remember what he's done, it's like, okay, God, you did this, now do it again. I believe it also takes your eyes off of the situation that you're in and puts your eyes focused towards him. It's a beautiful thing. And it awakens expectancy in you. When you remember what he's done, you go, oh, well, he did this and this and this, so what might he do here? And so it's amazing. And it also causes you to be curious. Okay, so how is God going to work this time? What's he going to do? What might we see? How often do you just sit and remember the things God has done? Because I want to tell you something. It's really easy to forget. Really easy. And Do you even remember? Do you remember when he drew you to salvation? Do you think about that? Do you remember how your heart felt and all the pulls and what he did? So in Philippians 2:13, it says this, "For it is God who works in you both to will and do his good pleasure." If you have that as a foundation and you're looking at what God has done, you're looking back and remembering what he has done, it helps you to understand he's working all things in your life for his good pleasure. Remembering also increases the gift of thankfulness in your heart. It's really easy to not be thankful. I don't know about you, but it's really easy to whine. And so when I approached preaching on opportunities a few weeks ago, and the Lord reminded me about going to the Ukraine, all of a sudden, all the things he did while we were there, like I just told you a couple of them, but all the things that, the ways he opened the doors and the opportunities and the way he protected us and the way he went before us and the mind-blowing things that he did while we were there came flooding back into me. And I realized how much I had forgotten. And so when we remember what he's done in our life, when we look back and see all the ways he's worked, it stirs afresh our wonder and awe of God and our expectancy for what he's wanting to do. It causes us not only thankfulness, but I don't know about you, but you need to be stirred in the awe and wonder of God. You see, he is this great and mighty king. He's actually seated on a white horse going before you. He is the faithful God. And we need to keep that awe. And when we are thankful for what he's doing, it stirs that awe in our life. And when you intentionally look back at all that God has done, it increases the memory of all. When you're thankful, it increases the memory of all the things he's done that you might have forgotten, like I did. Workings that when added together, they bring a great understanding that he's doing something underneath, that he's laying a foundation in your life, that he's at work. You don't understand. We sang this morning, he's working even when you don't see it, but he is at work in your life. He's working to pour into you what you need. He's working to give you those things that are missing. He does not want you trapped. He does not want you walking in grief and depression. He wants you free. And when we can look back and see he's done, it gives us expectancy towards what he will do. When you remember in awe how God has answered your prayers. Sometimes I shake my head. Even this week, I was talking to one of my daughters, and I said, well, I'd been praying this way towards my children and grandchildren. And she said, well, I think you've already had some answers in that. And she began to share something, and I'm like, wow, God, you're so good. You're so good. You see, he's looking for you to believe him for more. He's looking for you to ask the more. He's looking for your heart to be so overflowing with thanksgiving that you can hold all that he wants to do. And you need to remember, in your remembering and you're looking back at what he's done, you need to remember all the ways that he's took what the enemy meant for harm in your life and he used it for good. He does that, church. He takes those things the enemy has plotted against you, and he changes them. How does he do that? Oh, he's just good. He's just good. And think about how he brought to you the right people at the right time, how he opened doors of opportunity for you, how your understanding was enlightened in things, and all of a sudden you begin to see clearly things you didn't see before. And I want you, when you look back and you remember all and you're thankful for all he's done, it reminds you of all the places he protected you from harm and danger. You do not know, even last night, on my way to prayer last night, I was going up the hill out of Fontana, and across the road ran a buck with a good set of a rack on his head. And I'm like, God, you're so good. He went before me, and I didn't have to hit a deer. You just protected me. I thank you. He protects you, church, in ways that you do not even see. And you need to come and remember with gratitude. And you need to remember how he's provided for you. You see, some of you think it's just you, but it's not. It's him in you and through you, and he provides in incredible ways. I've heard in this church stories of how people have found money in their jean pockets that they had put away and hadn't had out for a long time. I've heard about checks coming in the mail that they weren't expecting. I actually know of someone who found cash, $300 on the side of the road, just saying. And there it was. And I'm like, whoa, it was me. Anyway, sometimes he provides you for you by someone buying your lunch. It's amazing. Or, actually, there's so many ways he provides. It's too many to tell you, more than you can even understand. And your memory should always remind us of the goodness of God in you. And I want to share one more thing about thankfulness. Looking back, it ushers the ability for God to move in a greater capacity in your life. And I want to share with you a story. You all know the story of the 10 lepers. They're out on the side of the road, and they hear Jesus is coming by, and they begin to cry out, "Have mercy on us! Have mercy on us!" You see, they had to stand at a distance. They couldn't even come close. And God comes in, and he says, "Go show yourselves to the priests." And so they turned, and they headed. And it says, actually says, as they headed towards the priests, they realized they had been made whole. So that's incredible, yes. And that word in there, cleansed, I want to tell you, it means to purify, to free from filth. It's merely about what happened to the body. But now get this. 9 of them went on to the priest. 1 of them turned back. And he came back, and he was actually a Samaritan. And he came back, and he threw himself on the ground before Jesus. And he poured out a heart of thanksgiving for what God had done. And I want you to look at Luke 17, the second verse in Luke 17, the 9th, is it? 19. I want you to look at this verse. He says, arise, go your way, your faith has made you well. That made you well in the Greek is one word, and that word is sozo, S-O-Z-O. And that word actually means saved, healed, and delivered. So the 9 of them had their bodies touched, but the one who came back to give thanks had such a heart of gratitude, he got a whole truckload more. He got saved, healed, and delivered, and God touched him in a way that the other 9 did not experience. And so when we are thankful, it calls to God to come and do even more in our lives. So you're up.
The second part of being thankful is to be thankful for what's happening right now, what God is doing right at this moment. We have to cultivate a thankful heart for the moments that God's working in us. We have to be thankful in the middle of what he's doing. Yeah. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, "Thank God in everything, no matter what the circumstance may be thankful and give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." In the middle of what I'm going, that verse doesn't mean that everything that happens to me is God's will. It means in everything that happens to me, the will of God is to give thanks, yes. To be thankful. That's hard sometimes. That's hard sometimes. It's like, I don't know what I want to say. Sometimes we're going through difficult places, moments that can be really challenging. Maybe the moments that you're facing are different than the person sitting next to you, but all of us have moments that are challenging for us. And we're supposed to learn to give thanks in the middle of those, because God is worthy. If you haven't met him yet, he's amazing. He's really amazing. And he's worthy and he's good. And thankfulness isn't really about how I feel. It's not about that. If it was about how you feel, then Philippians 4:6 would say, okay, it's all right. Your feelings matter more than God's. So be anxious whenever you want to. Pray if you feel like it. Ask God for whatever you want. However you want it, it'll probably work out. But that's really not what that verse says, is it? It says, don't be anxious or worried about anything. But in everything, every situation, every circumstance, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving. The secret weapon there, with thanksgiving. So continue with that thanksgiving, making your requests known, be made known unto God. And you know what happens? The next verse says, and the shalom of God, the peace of God, the shalom that reassures your heart, the shalom that transcends all of your understanding, the shalom which stands guard over your heart, that shalom is yours. That shalom is Jesus. He is the weapon that God gives us to fight the enemy. In the midst of, you know, every one of us has those moments when we think, I can't make it, I can't do it, I don't know what the answer is. But God, in the middle of that, gives us the Prince of Peace. He shows up, and because he is Jesus, he can do what's needed in the middle of anything. I read a story about sand. If I give you a dish of sand and I tell you that there's iron particles in the sand, you could search with your eyes, you could feel with your hands, but you wouldn't find the iron. But if you take a magnet and draw it through the sand, what would happen? All of the iron that's in there would attach to the magnet. An unthankful heart is like you searching for the magnet without a magnet. For the iron without a magnet. But with thanksgiving, it's like their thanksgiving is a magnet to draw to yourself the peace and the favor of God in every day. Sometimes it's challenging, but God will give you the strength. In Psalms 116:17, it says there, David said, I will offer you a sacrifice of thanksgiving. A sacrifice of thanksgiving. It means it's hard, it's difficult. Somebody has to die to give a sacrifice of thanksgiving. I like it when David was, in 2 Samuel, David was talking to his friend Reuben, and he said, I'm going to offer a sacrifice to the Lord. And so Reuben said, hey, I've got everything you need. I've got the oxen, I've got the wood, I've got everything you need. Take it and go and make a sacrifice to the Lord. And David says this really wonderful statement. He said, I can't take your stuff. I'll purchase it, but I can't take it. I have to buy it, because God forbid that I should offer him a sacrifice that costs me nothing. That's what our thanksgiving is. It is a sacrifice to the Lord, a sacrifice of thanksgiving. It costs us something. If we can learn to position our heart in the middle of pain, in the middle of anxiety, in the middle of worry, in the middle of fear, in the middle of challenge, and give to the Lord our requests with thanksgiving, then the Prince of Peace shows up and he changes us and he changes our situation. Hallelujah. Amen.
And the third part of the circle is we need to be thankful for what God is going to do before you see it. Thankfulness before you see it. Is your heart engaged in thankfulness before you see God move? That's the question. We need to be full of thanksgiving as we look towards the future. Thankfulness opens the door for the working of God. It really does. It is that Like that magnet that got the iron, our heart full of thanksgiving is a magnet towards him and him working. When our heart overflows with gratitude, it will actually change your prayers. In Psalm 50, verses 14 and 15, it says this: make thankfulness your sacrifice to God, and keep your vows you made to the Most High. Then call upon me when you are in trouble, and I'll rescue you, and you will give me glory. Do you see that? Do you see that you've got thankfulness, you call upon him, and then he's glorified because of what he does in you, because you started with thanksgiving. When our hearts are engaged in thanksgiving, it changes our prayers and shifts our beliefs, and it invites the working of God. It's just so invites it. And you all have prayer lists, right? Do you all have prayer lists? Things that you pray about? Well, you know, things that you're asking God to do, it might be things you need. Something you're missing and you're needing. Maybe it's a job, or maybe it's salvation of a family member, or maybe it's just a really tough situation that you just need God to help change. Maybe it's about longing to see change in your nation. Whatever the need, you need to maintain a heart full of thanksgiving in the midst of the waiting. That doesn't just happen, church. Being thankful in the waiting doesn't just happen. It's something you have to initiate and choose. Thankfulness for the answer before they actually comes, it does something. It actually brings precision to your prayers. Because you want to know why? Because thankfulness keeps our prayer requests centered around him. When we have thankfulness, it's centered around him. In Colossians 4, verse 2, it says this: devote yourselves to prayer two ways, with an alert mind. Wake up when you're going to pray. And number two, have a thankful heart. That's really critical. And so the power of your prayer is not about begging or whining or complaining about your problems. It isn't about all the issues life throws your way. The power is released when you join your heart with his heart to see his kingdom come and his purposes worked out on the earth. This happens in an attitude of thankfulness. A revelation of our dependency and our need of him. I know it sounds strange, but even this morning, I was so aware, Father, how much I need you. I need you so much. And that dependency comes out of thankfulness. Remaining thankful is critical. Thankfulness prepares us for the answer before it comes. It actually aligns our heart with the will and purposes of God. So I want to tell you how you do this, how you can keep thankfulness in your ever before you in your prayers. You have to keep a list of the blessings of God that is a greater list than your needs. You all said you had a prayer need list. Do you all have a blessing or a thankfulness list of all the things he's done? Right now, if I said to you, what has God done for you? Could you list 10 things like that? Or do you have to stop and really consider? But we have to keep that list of blessings greater than our list of needs. We need to stay more aware of the blessings of God than our needs. We need to stay more conscious of our need. When we stay more conscious of our need rather than of who he is and what he might do in us, we pray from almost a place of desperation. But when we are aware of who he is and we come to him with an attitude of thankfulness, what happens is authority flows through our prayers. And there's a shift and a change because we pray from heaven's perspective rather than our own. If you want to see God move in every situation, you really have to choose thankfulness. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, we say it, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Why do you think he gave that command? Is it because thankfulness just flows automatically out of your mouth? Or is it because you needed to be reminded? You see, the Holy Spirit wrote this because he wanted you to walk in the fullness of what was possible. And what is revealed to you out of a heart of thanksgiving is incredible compared to when you're just whining and complaining. Not much comes from that, except for you feel worse than you did when you started. So giving thanks does not come naturally. Whining does. It actually, I don't know about you, but whining can flow out of my mouth like butter on a hot cob of corn. Do you see that? It comes. And it's one of the greatest tools that the enemy uses against you. It's a good one, huh?
Lunch is coming.
Sorry. If you really understood that one of the greatest tools of warfare against you is whining, and the enemy whispers, but you, they should have, and if only, and if you had, and you hear those voices. But giving thanks in everything, it takes a decision. It takes, hey, I choose thankfulness. I am going to, with all of my ability, I'm going to choose thankfulness over whining. It means you talk a whole lot less. It really does. Out of a heart of thanksgiving comes the moving of the Holy Spirit in your life. You all longing for that? You wanting the Holy Spirit to move more? Then it's work by saying, hey, I'm going to keep my heart full of thanksgiving for who God is and what he's doing in my life. Not only that, when we have thanksgiving in our hearts, there comes a release of power. You see, it's the Holy Spirit will lead us into the supernatural. Did you know that the kingdom of God is supernatural? It's not natural. It's supernatural. And he wants us to move in the supernatural. He wants shoulders healed in the midst of our worship. He wants cancer out of bodies in the midst of worship. He wants our family situations and life changed out of a grateful heart. God, you are so good. This doesn't look good, but I don't care because you are good and you are working and you are shifting and you are changing and I'm going to watch you move. And it happens when we are grateful. Stop whining and be thankful. Let your voice be one of that speaks thanksgiving. I love this. In Hebrews 12. Verse 28. Crazy verse. It says, since we are receiving a kingdom that is unshakable. That kingdom, that supernatural kingdom, is unshakable. If you're shaking, you're not in the kingdom. Jump back into the kingdom. It's unshakable. Let us be thankful. It says, since we are receiving a kingdom that is unshakable, let us be thankful. And please God by worshiping him with holy fear and awe. In all of this, you have to remember that the Lord will perfect that which concerns you. He's got you, church. You can be thankful because he's got you. He's got the problem. He's already dealt with it. He can do it.
I want us to become the most thankful church on the block. The most thankful church we could possibly ever be. In Psalm 92:1, it says, oh, give thanks to the Lord. Sing your praises to the Most High. Because God is so good.
Yes,
he is so good.
He's so good.
So we want to encourage you to develop a habit of thanksgiving. You know, when you get up in the morning, first thing you ought to be saying is, Lord, I'm thankful for what you're doing today. I'm thankful for your life in us. I'm thankful for what you have done. I'm thankful for what you are doing. I'm thankful for what you will do. And then the last thing you do at night, should be the same. Lord, I'm thankful. I'm so thankful for all of your work in my life. Hallelujah. We have to maintain a heart of thankfulness. Maintain a heart of thankfulness. It's easy sometimes to go back and say, Lord, you've done amazing things. But in the moment, it might be a little bit harder, but we have to maintain an attitude of thankfulness. Psalm 107:22 says, let them offer sacrifices of thanksgiving and sing joyfully about his glorious acts. Wow. Sacrifices of thanksgiving. It may cost me something. I have to give up my whining. I don't whine. Not very much anyway. But we have to stand together. We have to be a people of thanksgiving. A people of thanksgiving. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. You took my last verse. Hebrews.
Say it again.
Oh, it's a good verse. Hebrews 12:28. Since we are receiving a kingdom that is unshakable. I like that. I'm receiving a kingdom. It's unshakable. The world is, it shakes every now and then. It shakes all the time. Yeah, but the kingdom I'm receiving is unshakable. It's unshakable. So let us be thankful and please God by worshiping him with holy fear and awe. Giving thanks to God never gets old. It never gets tiring, and it's never enough. Thankfulness should be the very fabric of our lives. Ruth put together a list of all the verses in the Bible that talks about being thankful. I'm going to read that list now. It's fairly long. Yeah. There's a lot of verses about being thankful, giving thanks, because thanksgiving should be the very fabric of our lives. I'm not reading the verse, sorry. It's important that we maintain an attitude of thankfulness all the time, for the past, for the present, and for the future. Amen? Amen.
I just want to express this morning, this is a week of Thanksgiving. It ought not to only be now when we talk about thankfulness and live thankful. Living thankful needs to be full circle, 24/7, 365 days every year, all the time. And so I'd like to start that this morning, just expressing to you gratitude for you. We are thankful to serve among you. We're thankful that you love us. We're thankful that you're faithful. We're thankful for what we see God doing in you. We're thankful for all the ways God is raising you up. We are so thankful for what he's going to do in this house and in you and through you. And so we say thank you.
We have to get in the habit of Thanksgiving. And when we do that, the outcome of our life looks uniquely different. The Lord will do as we become more thankful is incredible. It's actually incredible.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. Bless the Lord. Father, we thank you today so much. We can't express our thanks enough. You're so good. You're so powerful. You're so mighty in our midst. We thank you, Lord. We thank you from the bottom of our hearts. We thank you with everything we have. We thank you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. And all the people said, thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Amen.